O God, our Father, give thee thanks for these words that we can sing. Lord, thou hast drawn us after thee, now let us run and never tire. Thy presence shall our comfort be. And so we just give thee thanks that we can have this time before us this morning. And we just realize that we need strength to be able to run, and we just desire that the portion that would be before us would be food for our souls. Whatever thou hast have for us, Father, and just pray for thy help and direction as far as suggesting a passage, whatever we might take up, and whatever comments might be made. Just pray that thy spirit would lead and that we would just be blessed as we sit here in thy presence, Lord Jesus, this morning. So we commit our time into thy hands and the rest of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let it be profitable, brethren, to consider 2 Timothy in chapter 2. I wait for your consideration.
I read that portion. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same, commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even as unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. And if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive, not about words of no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth the canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with all of them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they engender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they might recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, or taken captive by him at his will.
Started the meetings off singing, "O God of matchless grace." And it just makes me think of this first verse, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Reminds me of that verse, I think it's Hebrews 13. It says, "It is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats." And we can think that we're strong in a lot of things. Think we have a strong will, or we have a lot of knowledge, or whatever it is. And Timothy certainly was someone who had been faithful in many ways. But it's just encouraging here, I think, and encouraging for our day, that he's encouraged to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I take it that that just means that he is to lean on the Lord for his strength, and depend on the Lord for his strength, not to look to something else, good teaching or whatever it may be. Not that those things aren't important, but that his strength was to come from the grace of the Lord.
Grace is really such a wonderful thing, isn't it? And when we have a realization of it in our souls, held properly, it really helps us to have the right attitude and the right perspective. And in all of us, we're honest, deserve never to be able to see the face of God. We deserve the lake of fire. So that's what we by nature and by practice really have earned. But when we see that God, instead of giving us what we deserve, has given his Son, has given us to appreciate what is really life. If we can be strong in that, that we have been given everything that we have, then we can have the right perspective. Are we going to be focused on ourselves when God has given us such grace? You know, that's what we are to be strong in. You know, isn't that something that's a challenge for each one of us? To think about ourselves a lot. You know, grace gives us to get outside of ourselves and realize that God wants to glorify his Son. We are connected with him. And if we can be strong in that, you know, we can be fruitful. It goes on to say, "And the things which thou hast heard of me." You know, it's not just that we would leave the Word of God aside, nor to be strong in that which we have been given to. But they're together. It's not one without the other. And I just appreciate that so much. The two go together. Well, we have in verse 2, it says, "The same, commit thou to faithful men. We shall be able to teach others also." Now, we tend to like to, as it goes on in chapter 4, to hear something we haven't heard before. Hear a fresh perspective or something new and exciting. But here it's the same, commit thou to faithful men. You know, we can't get beyond appreciating the Lord Jesus, what he has done, who he is. You know, if we do, we've got off the path. It doesn't mean we can't have a fresh enjoyment of him, of everything that's true, but it's the same. It's not our own perspective that we need to pass on. We don't need to add something to the Word of God to make it better. We need to enjoy what he has given to us. The same. You know, it says, "Commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." You know, there's some here that are mothers, that have opportunity, special time with children, to be able to teach them the truth of God. There's those that perhaps teach in a different capacity. But each one of us, it's not just to pass it on to, you know, certain brothers who are going to teach others. The truth of God is for each one of us to appreciate the Lord Jesus. I think there's a proper order of things that's brought out here, but I think if each one of us thinks this is to somebody else, we're going to miss out. The Lord has something for each one, and Timothy obviously is who's being written to here, and there is a specific thing that Timothy is to be doing. And I think each one of us can apply it to our own selves. The Word of God is not just for others.
Enjoy the new translation. Paul says, "Thou, my child." There's this fatherly care towards this younger brother who had had the occasion to minister with him, to be with him, as it says here, and learn many things of him. That was witnessed by many. You know, it was Paul. Always transparent. His teaching was a public teaching. It was consistent. It was over time. And Timothy was with him. And he's really, you know, he is really handing off, as it were. You know, Paul was an apostle. He had particular authority in the laying of the foundation of the assembly, but here he is handing off to a faithful young brother and admonishing this young brother to entrust, the word commit is translated entrust, these teachings, these words, to other faithful men. And that's really the way that the Lord, by his grace, there is a way, things have been handed down. You know, there were those that teach of official handing down. It's not official. It's faithful men. And by the grace of God, here we are 2,000 years after these words were written almost. And we have this word in our hand. And we thank God there have been those faithful ones who have done this, handed this word down. And it is, as Kevin said, it is the word of God that we have. The grace of God and the word of God that will get us through. It works. It's God's way. That's to consider. You know, I think of times when we were younger, and I had the privilege of having many people stay at our house, and I think it was a time when there was more traveling, especially many of those who were laboring or ministering amongst the saints would travel a lot, and we had that privilege of having many stay with us. And I can think of those times often after meeting or at night, you know, put the kids to bed and sitting with some of these ones, and it was a great privilege. And I'd be very thankful to be considered one who was a faithful person. What's that mean, a faithful man? There's a little discretion there, isn't there? So it's a real, it's a real call to do this. There's care in how the truth is handed on. There's care in the way it is handed on. And I still think of, again, some of these interactions with like Brother Bill Assali and Norman Berry, and who, you know, in a fatherly way would take aside a young brother and say, "Here, these are important things, and you have a responsibility towards others. I'm giving you these things. I'm entrusting them to you." It's really something, isn't it? to continue that.
Walk on faithfully in this world. It's going to require hardship. And I think all of us have a tendency to, it's just human nature that we don't like the hard path, we want the easy path. And so most men go down the broad road, they don't go down the narrow road, and many Christians take the easy way as opposed to the hard way. And so this exhortation is given to Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Sally's given me a bit of a love for history, and as I have a long commute to work, I've listened to a few books on history, and it's amazing when you look back in history, or even today, at what a soldier has to go through. Even today, what a soldier has to go through, but even more so back in this day. It was an incredibly arduous occupation. Long marches, marching through cold and summer uniforms, through heat and winter uniforms, you know, lugging water, building fortifications, and then of course the ever-present danger of death at the next corner. It's really not exactly a lifestyle. I know it kind of sounds glamorous, but it really wasn't a very fun or exciting thing most of the time, and it certainly involved an incredible amount of hardship. And the Roman soldiers, we know a little bit about Roman soldiers and how they were drilled. You know, decimation happened. Just, it's incredible the thing that a soldier is called today, or and back in the day when this was written, to go through. And a lot of times maybe we just think as a Christian that I'm entitled to, the Lord loves me and the Lord's over all, so I really should have a pretty easy life. I don't know why I should really have to go through a lot of hardships. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I mean, I should be able to have a pretty easy life. And it's rare, to me anyway, I believe it's rare that the easy way is the right way, the way that would follow the Lord. And so he calls him to endure hardness as a good soldier.
About a lot of, even today, in the present time, a lot of what those who are, you say, in the service have to do, it's continuous, it's monotonous, it's not necessarily interesting, and again, at their times it may be, very uncomfortable. Certainly today, modern soldiers, at least in our country, probably have more creature comforts in many cases, but then there are times when they don't, and they're trained for those times, right? So we all know basic training is the beginning of whatever service you're in and whatever discipline you end up going into in the service, whether you end up at a desk job or firing artillery, you know, they all start with basic training. And that's where they have to drill and kind of push the limits. They have these drill sergeants that yell at them and make them feel not so good to see if they can do it. You know, part of it is that people quit. People, not everybody can endure that. Not everybody can take it. But then again, you know, a lot of the actual day-to-day service of a soldier is that, you know, it's the marching, it's the drills, it's just the going on and those things that aren't necessarily fun in themselves, and in many cases, you know, hard, as it says. But yet, what you do, you just do it and do it until you're done. And you know, a soldier also, so I understand. I've never been in the service, but I understand when a person enlists, they actually sign a paper signing, you know, in the United States military, they sign over really their, all their rights to the government during this period of time. So they have no rights. And a good soldier needs to be focused on the one who has chosen him to be a soldier. That's so important. So these entanglements is when you get all wound up with things. And again, soldiers are, there are strict codes. They can get disciplined for violating these codes and getting involved with things that are, you know, either bring dishonor or danger in many cases to their fellow soldiers and to the government that they serve. So they wear a uniform, that uniform identifies them, and not to be entangled in other things. And so it is with us. To be entangled with the affairs of this life. We're here to please the one who is in heaven. His interests are heavenly, not earthly. His interests in the earth are with the souls of the people who he loves, and for whom he died. That is his interest here in this world.
I think it's so beautiful how in the scripture, you know, simple illustrations are used that we all can just easily relate to. And the youngest one, well, maybe not the absolute youngest, but, you know, the youngest one here with understanding can relate to. And these three are given, and I know that they're maybe some of the words are words we don't use so much today. But the first one, as has already been mentioned, is just, how effective is a soldier going to be going into battle if he's busy shopping and busy, you know, checking on his Amazon delivery status and, you know, whatever it is? How effective is he really going to be as he goes into battle? And the answer is obvious. He's not going to be effective because he's not focused on what's in front of him. And then you have the next example in verse 5. If a man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Well, striving for mastery is just an old way to say that you're in a competition. So you can think of it like a race. And if someone's in a race, and then they decide to just cut across, you know, they're in some long-distance race, decide to cut across some shortcut in the path, well, that's all fine and good. It may look to everybody like they won the race, but as they review, they're not going to be crowned unless they strive lawfully. So there is that principle as well, that we can seek to take shortcuts, avoid hardness. I mean, you think of running. I think we probably all have run, and you can just imagine, you know, you just think of how every step becomes agony as you get towards, you know, as you get into a race, and you just, everything is hard. And the thing that you want more than anything is just the race to be over. So if there's a way to take a few shortcuts and make things easier, the temptation is there. And we can all think back in times when, you know, they're running the Boston Marathon or whatever, and people try to take shortcuts. And so there's that danger as well, that we would seek to avoid hardness by taking, by just bending the rules a little bit, as we might say. Does it really mean that exactly? You know, I think the Lord understands. I think that's a very dangerous statement. And then you have verse 6, the husbandman. That's just a farmer. The farmer, and it's kind of, I think it's a little clearer. I'll just read it in Darby because it's helpful, I think. The husbandman must labor before partaking of the fruits. So you can't start, you know, when you're on your way, if you see some strawberries and they're not, you know, you have to work at it. You have to put in all the energy ahead of time. It's not until the end that you're able to actually select that fruit. And so maybe sometimes we do something for the Lord and we expect some great reward, like right away. Want, you know, people's adulation or whatever it is. That's not appropriate. We are looking for our reward in a future time, not now.
Yeah, thinking about the farmer, you know, this is the time of year that the seed catalogs come out. Get these beautiful pictures of nice, bright, luscious fruits and vegetables. You know, and some people, oh, that's great, I'm going to have a garden. And then when it's time, you know, the summer and the garden's full of weeds, things don't look quite like the pictures in the seed catalog because, you know, it doesn't, you have to labor. That's what husbandry is. That act of daily paying attention. You know, the labor is really a paying attention on a daily basis to the needs and to the situation. You know, if it's gardening, then it's weeding and dealing with bugs and transplanting and mulching. And then finally, if you do all of that, you get to eat some good stuff. And you know, whether it's animal husbandry or whatever, it's a care, it's a daily care. You can't, you know, I appreciate one of the things our kids, I think, benefited from by having animals to take care of is, you know, even when you don't feel like getting up early before school or before even extracurricular activities at school to deal with the animals, you got to do it anyway. You can't say, I'll wait till tomorrow. Just doesn't work. So it's a very good thing to think about. That daily, continuous routine and attentiveness to what it is you're growing or raising.
Just one more comment in regards to the soldier. Thinking of Uriah, how he was called from the thick of battle to David. David had his own intentions in that. But Uriah did not go home to his wife. He would not entangle his concentration, his battle concentration. He had been called, he expected to be going back to battle, and so he slept, I believe, on the steps of the palace. And that's the kind of concentration that the soldier has to have. Otherwise, distraction could cost his life or the life of his comrades. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. You know, we don't always have understanding of the things that are being committed to us. Sometimes we have to gain experience. We have to live life. And if we do so with the Lord in mind, then we gain understanding. We go through experiences that show us the truth and the value of the Word of God. And as we impart it to others, they gain by that experience, someone else's experience. Sometimes we read a scripture when we're 20 years old and we just kind of read over it. A few years later or a year later, we read it again and, well, there seems to be something there. But maybe 10 years later or 20 years later, we go through that passage and we are just amazed. Well, we've gone through some things.
I like, again, the new translation. It says, think of what I say. For the Lord will give thee understanding. And you know, sometimes something can be communicated, and you got to work at understanding it, and you know, I teach electric theory and such, and you know, sometimes I know I'll be with a group of students, and I put something out, we talked about it, and they'll look at me with blank eyes. I just got to say, you just need to just think about it. Just think about it. And then sometimes, through a lot of struggle, suddenly the light starts coming on. And go, wow, yeah, I didn't. So you have to work at these things. There is a labor in understanding, even. And we don't always understand. And we understand more. You know, these little ones understand a certain level of these very same scriptures that we're reading, that they've memorized for Sunday school, but as they grow, they'll understand more. And that's the way it is. But it takes that effort, that, you know, the chewing on, the thinking on, the meditation. Very important.
Could we sing 275?
Our God is light and love.
God, our Father, we just thank Thee for the Word we've been able to enjoy this morning, Thy Word. We just, again, thank Thee for Thy mercies to us and Thy grace. We just commit ourselves to Thee in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.